So it allowed me to bring the message today. She's visiting with family out of state. She'll be back next week. But right. You know, I was thinking before when I was putting together this message, and you know, as often happens, the devil throws everything at you in your way. Chairs, kitchen sink, the printer. Right, I couldn't get my notes to print, so I kind of panicked last night a little bit. So I've got this laptop, and I'm hoping I can use that. It's working out pretty good, but you know, it got me to thinking also about. I mean, think about 2,000 years ago. Think about the early Christians, the early church. They got to walk with Jesus. How great is that? We walk with Jesus, but they were hand in hand with Jesus on earth. But yet they also had to do something. There was no Christian religion. There was no Christianity other than through Jesus. They spread that, right? They had to go out. And what kind of persecutions did they go through? We can't even imagine here in this country anyway what kind of persecutions they went through. How did they make it through that? How could they possibly have done that? How could they take the message of Jesus and spread it throughout the world? Through today, there's millions upon millions upon millions that follow our Lord Jesus. The only way they could have done that was in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all things are possible. And we know even today, I mean, think back even the course of our history. We've had, and I wasn't there, but we had World War I, World War II. Think of all the hardships that brought. And the Vietnam Wars, all the wars that we've had, the inflation. You know, persecutions to some degree. How could we make it through that in the name of Jesus? That's the only way. That is the only way. And that's how we're going to make it now. And our brother in the back talked about, let's pray for the world. And what a great thought that is. Yes, we need to pray for the world. I mean, I could go on and list it. So many things that we must have Jesus for. And without Jesus, there really is no hope. But we know how it ends. We know that the Lord, He's got it worked out, and He's going to come down, and He's going to do what He does. So I've entitled this message, I've entitled this message, What's in a Name? So, and if you can't hear me, let me know. I'm really trying to. I can't be as loud as Ramona. She did really good. She can project that and get it out there, but I'm going to try. I think it's my beard. I'll blame that. But, all right. So what's in a name? So Jesus is calling us, I believe, to a renewed relationship with Him. He wants to be our refuge and our Savior during this storm. And as of late, we've been going through a storm, as we mentioned. Rumors of wars. Right? How many, every day, if you watch the news, I try to give up watching the news, really, to the most part. But how close are we? Seems like we're always on the edge. The civil unrest, people rioting, inflation, making things harder to make ends meet. We've even heard lately that there's banks collapsing. That hasn't happened since probably, what was it, the 20s, probably Depression. Right? So what I would say is the storm is here. And now is the time that we call upon the one name that we can to preserve us, and that's the name of Jesus. Amen? In Luke, it talks about how when Jesus had called the 12 together, He gave them power and authority to drive out demons and cure disease. Then He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's how they did it. In His name, under His authority, they went out to spread the word. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out, two by two, ahead of Him, to every town and place where He was about to go. And He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road." So that was the commission that He gave them. But how did they do that? How did they fund that? Did they do a fundraiser? Did they get a lot of sponsors? No, they went out in faith in Jesus' name. They went out and they were lacking nothing. And then when they returned, He said, "The Lord Almighty or they knew that the Lord Almighty would come with thunder and earthquake and a great noise, with windstorm and tempest and flames devouring fires, it says in Luke. Now, a person's name can be seen as a summary of his or her character. Whenever a name is mentioned, there's a demand made upon that power inherent in that name. Therefore, whenever the name of Jesus was mentioned by the disciples, it was as though Jesus himself was present in their midst in his fullness and his almighty power. Demons had no option but to obey. And to think about the names, I mean, just a few examples. When Jesus was talking with Simon, but now he's going to call him Peter because he was the rock. When Saul, who had been persecuting the Christians and fighting against the church, had his encounter with the Lord. Now his name is Paul. So there's something in a name. There's something in a name. And what do we call our Heavenly Father? He goes by many names. Heavenly Father. Jehovah Rapha is a name. It's the God who heals. And don't we need that? We need the healing. And that's what we know right there. We have our proof. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Elohim, as in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Yahweh, the God who creates. And then these other ones, you run across these a lot in different songs and different things, but they really jumped out at me. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. How many of us here need peace today? We need peace in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits. And the Lord is, he's the one that brings the peace to us. And Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, then how do we refer to God the Son? What's in his name? Matthew 1:22-23, his name's Emmanuel. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. I think about that sometimes. I think we probably all do, but if you really stop and think about it, Jesus came from this glorified and holy place, the right hand of the Father. He came down to earth to be with us. So yes, Emmanuel, God with us. Yeshua, in Luke 1:31, the archangel Gabriel tells Mary to name her son Yeshua, meaning salvation, which is taken from the Hebrew verb yasha, which means to deliver, save, or rescue. I'm pretty happy about that. You know, when we talk about how bad things are getting in this world, we know what's going to happen. It's going to be bad. But we're going to be rescued by our Lord. He's made that promise to us. It's in his name. And finally, Jesus. Precious Jesus, whom we sang about just a moment ago and who we always sing about and can't sing about enough. But the angel came and told Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And that's what it all boils down to. He's here to save us from our sins. That's in Matthew 1:21. So what can we take from that? What can we take from this person of Jesus? What kind of descriptors do we have? Well, one we have, it's our Savior. What? "For therefore we both labor and suffer and reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." That's in 1 Timothy. Also, we refer to him as the Redeemer. That's in Job. "For I know my Redeemer," I know my Redeemer liveth, "and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." I mean, who needs a Redeemer? I need a Redeemer. And you think about that? I mean, what is a Redeemer? So I'm a lesser. I'm not there. I've not done enough. I'm not counted enough, but I'm redeemed through my Lord Jesus. He's my Redeemer. It's also referred to as the bread of life. And Jesus himself said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." I don't know about you, but I've been thirsty before. Thirsty in the desert, right? How much do you want that drink of water? How hungry when you have... I remember one time... I was in the And I was in the service, and we were doing our maneuvers, drills. And it was late at night, and I was a medic, and I had to go and respond to whatever emergencies. So it was late at night, pitch black, out in the field with the artillery pieces out there. And you can't use a flashlight. You have to use a little red lens on your flashlight so you can't see anything. And so I got the call over the radio that one of the people, one of the soldiers at the artillery piece, was having severe abdominal pains. Severe abdominal pains. So they needed me right away. So I had to get all my gear on and get ready, and I had to find this place, you know, track a quarter mile through the swamps in Georgia. And I get there, and I'm looking around trying to find him. So I walk up to him. I see him sitting there, and his sergeant's right there next to him with a really kind of a mad look on his face. And I said, "Okay, what's going on?" And the sergeant says, "Sorry to bother you, Doc. He was just hungry." He was hungry. He was the sergeant made him. The sergeant was getting him. Now he's going to have to pay the price. But he was just hungry, and he was having stomach pains, and he ate something, and he felt better. So, so that's the kind of hunger. I wish I had that kind of hunger for God. That's the kind of hunger I want when my stomach hurts. I just go after the Lord, and that's another name that we call him, is our Lord. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, "It is the Lord," in reference to Jesus. He's our creator. Do we ever stop to think about that? Sometimes we think God the Father and God the Son. We don't think that Jesus is the creator, but he was. In the beginning, right, there was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. He was right there from the beginning of time. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching his understanding. It's in Isaiah. We also refer to our Lord as the Son of the living God. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." It's because Jesus asked him, who do they say I am? And then who do you say that I am? And he got it right. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We also refer to our Lord as the only begotten Son. As in John 3:16, one of our favorite verses and probably one of the first verses we learned as a child. And one that we probably say weekly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A lot of times we stop there. But the very next verse, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. That is, the more I thought about that this week, and I'm thinking about it, and how many times have we heard, or just maybe in passing, or I might see someone talk on TV or just wherever you come across, and the concept of salvation comes up, or God. And they say, "Well, you know, I'm a good person. I do all kinds of great things. I'm nice to everybody. I help people. I give money. I work for the poor. I did nothing wrong. So I don't necessarily need," they don't think that they necessarily need to be saved. They don't have to do anything different. But if you read this scripture, he didn't come in here to condemn us, but to save us, which means we were already condemned. Just being here. So, yes, we do have to do something. You can be the nicest person in the world. You could follow the letter of the law, but if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. And don't trick yourself, and we don't want people to fool themselves. You must have Jesus. He's the beloved Son. Just as it said in Luke, there came a voice out of the clouds saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." He's the Holy One of Israel. As in Isaiah, "Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it." There's many other names that we call, many other ways we refer to Jesus. Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Just as it says in Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us is given the given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." And I just messed up real quick. Hang on a second. I lost my notes. All right. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And ultimately, he's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. In 1 Timothy, it says, which in his times we shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So much like other Hebrew names, this was the calling of Jesus and his destiny from the very beginning. Now, the scriptures describe the power that comes in the name of Jesus. In 2 Philippians, we hear that, therefore God elevated him to a place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. And at that name, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. I love that song too. I forgot to ask. It would have been great if we would have sang that song today. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Jesus is the embodiment of the Word of God. The same way a person might want to send a message, you could send an email or a text, or maybe even make a recording of yourself and send it to someone to be as real as you can be. But what did God do? God formed a body in the womb of a virgin. He filled it with his word, his son, and his mindset, and sent him as an indestructible witness to humanity. Jesus was sent to show us the will of the Father and confirmed it through the many signs and wonders that he performed. Now, back in the days, and I'm sure probably today, others tried to use his name. Sometimes they weren't believers. They kind of looked at it like, they wanted the advantages of Jesus, but they didn't want to be a follower of Jesus. They didn't want to seek after Jesus. They just wanted to use his name. So it was the power in the name of Jesus and the disciples that made the demons subject unto the disciples. The sons of Sceva learned this the hard way when they attempted to invoke the name of Jesus like a magician without having any kind of divine authority or authorization. They didn't even necessarily have faith in Christ, but they wanted to use his name. So the result of this was very disastrous, because they didn't have any permission to do that. So they didn't have permission to use the name of Jesus. It is the faith that we have in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior that activates the power behind the name. In Acts 19, it tells us what happened, which I thought was an interesting story. So it goes like this. Some Jews went around driving out evil spirits and tried to invoke the name of the Lord. Name of the Lord Jesus, over those who were demon-possessed. And they would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. The seven sons of Sceva, who was a Jewish chief priest, they were doing this. I'm just imagining a group of all of them together, just going around, trying to be something and cast out demons in the name of Jesus. So one day they came up to a person that was possessed, and the evil spirit, and they tried to cast out the name in the name of Jesus. And the evil spirit answered them back directly. And he says, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know about. But who are you? Well, what happened after that? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on him. And I'll just read it right out of the book. Jumped on him, overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. I'm going to make sure. I want the authority. I'm not going to be somebody using it without a license, that's for sure. And when this happened, this became known to the Jews and the Greeks living in Ephesus, and they were all seized with fear because the name of the Lord Jesus was so powerful, and they held it in high honor. The Bible describes what happens when the name of Jesus is even mentioned. As in Isaiah, the name brings with it thunder and earthquake and great noise, with windstorm, tempests, flames of devouring fire. Faith is like the password to God's miracle-working power. Faith opens the door to unlimited possibilities. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. From Hebrews 11:6. Unsaved persons, out of desperation, may seek many false solutions. instead of seeking faith in Christ? And what are these false solutions? Maybe it's just trying to become popular or trying to become wealthy or trying to, you know, maybe they turn to drugs. Maybe they turn to drinking. They're basically subject to the manipulation of the world and subject to the demons and the fiery darts and arrows and the things that come upon you to drag you down and to crush you. It exposes them to fear, demonic manipulation, and bondage. And we know that the casting out of demons or exorcism has been practiced throughout the centuries, throughout history, in the name of Jesus. We know, demons are like terrorists, and Jesus doesn't negotiate with terrorists. He just tells them to go, and they're going to go. And we know that only Jesus and those who have received his life are successful at casting out demons. And if we doubt that demons come after us, are looking, as we know, Satan is there to kill, steal, and destroy. Nothing makes him happier than to tearing down a Christian or to getting in someone's way and preventing them from the fullness of God. The name of Jesus is not a magic formula, but rather it's the summation of God's power and his authority in the universe through the faith in the name. Victory is assured in our battle against Satan and his demons. So, what does that mean to us? It means that salvation is found in no one else, in nothing else. But there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved, as in Acts 4:12. Satan is going to respond in obedience to the born-again child of God who has a clear understanding of their rights and privileges, just as he would respond to Jesus, because we're operating in the name of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And sometimes I think when we get sick, or if we're maybe struggling with depression, struggling with alcoholism, struggling with drugs, whatever it may be, we look to ourselves to find a way out. And maybe not ourselves. I look to someone else to find a way out. I look to a rehab program to find my way out. There's no other way out except through Jesus. And he will provide that way. And I'll tell you what, if you haven't experienced the wonder-working and the almighty power in the name of Jesus, what are we waiting for? It's there. As you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, every demonic stronghold in the operation of your life is hereby demolished now in the name of Jesus. We don't have to wait. It is now. This is where our faith comes in. In the name of Jesus, we are more than victorious. The name of Jesus has authority over all things. We can't do it in our name, but in his name we are victorious and more than conquerors. I like to say, it's not going out on a limb, but I'll say, it's hard sometimes when you have diseases or you have a problem, because if my leg hurts, right? If my leg doesn't, but if my leg hurts and I prayed for healing for my leg, what would I do? Sometimes I'll say, let me see if it hurts. Let me stand on it, see if it still hurts. Well, that's not really faith, right? Because I'm looking, I'm listening to my leg, not listening to Jesus. Right? Maybe it's healed this much. Maybe it's Jesus' plan for me to be healed like this, or maybe it's his plan for me to be healed over time. Because that's how he moves and how he uses us to draw closer to him, uses these things to draw closer to him. But in the name of Jesus, we can defeat heart disease. We can. In the name of Jesus, we can be healed of sickness, any sickness. And if I could say so, in the name of Jesus, Brother Richie can be healed. In the name of Jesus, my cousin can be healed. Jerry's cousin can be healed from the cancer that's stricken their bodies. That is not the ultimate decision. The decision lies with the Lord. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. But my prayer is always that God's will be done. In the name of Jesus, this church body is victorious. In the name of Jesus, I think we have revival. We're going to claim revival in the name of Jesus. We seek revival. What is revival? Well, I guess you could look at it in several different ways, but I decided to look up a few ways that people describe revival. A revival can be seen as an improvement in the condition or strength of something. Maybe I'm one of the heavyweight boxers. I'm boxing, and I'm sitting in the corner between rounds, and I'm a little bit tired. I can't go on. What do they do? What do they do? They come up and give some of that smelling salts under your nose, and it revives you. You get back up, and you get out there. Another way to think of it is an instance of something becoming popular, active, or important again. Now, we would never think that we don't hold our Lord in the highest esteem. But sometimes it becomes one of many things that we think about. Because we have so much, as Ramona was saying, we have so many things going on in our lives. It starts to cloud it up. It starts to get in there. And yes, I'm still praying. And yes, I'm still praising the Lord. But I'm also worried about this, or worried about that, or worried about work, or worried about something else. And as I've said before, and I took that line from another minister. I wish I could recall exactly who it was, worry stops when worship starts, right? And then the other way around is when worry starts, then worship stops. So I'd rather be worshiping. And so when I get these things come in my mind, my first thing should be praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for in all things. So revival can mean making alive again those who have been alive but have fallen into what is kind of a cold or lethargic state. So they are Christians and they have life, but they need reviving to bring them back to their first love and a renewed relationship with Jesus. Revival can be thought of as an awakening or quickening of God's people to their true nature and purpose. So what do we get out of that? What do we get from revival? Well, for one thing, it raises the esteem of Jesus. It puts him back front and center. Even though he may be front and center, but it clears out all the, it's like, you know, clearing out all the things besides that are taking away from Jesus and getting our eyes back on him. Another thing that happens when we have revival is Satan's kingdom suffers. He doesn't like that. If one person repents, what does that do to him? It drives him into a frenzy. I'd love to do that. Let's do that. Another thing that happens is we all have a more clearly, or we have a greater response to Scripture and a more clearly understood spiritual truth between spiritual truth and error. So we have discernment. It will bring our discernment back. How many messages are we getting in the media today? All right. The economy is great. The economy is bad. Prices are going up. Prices are going down. What do we believe? You know? There's earthquakes? Oh, there's no earthquakes. There's fires in California? Well, there's not fires. Yeah. We have to have discernment, and this is where discernment comes in. The Lord will lead us to know, so I can discern what is correct and what is not correct. What am I going to feed myself with? What information am I going to take and say, yes, that's right. Discernment is what gives me that ability to do that. All right. A new sense of love towards God. So revival, as I would say, is here with us right now. We seek revival. It's here. It's in our grasp. Right? Because we've gathered in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is with us now. And so it's just up to us to act on that and to take that next step. All right? And if I can be so bold, I would like to invite, if you yourself are dealing with the fiery darts and arrows of Satan, if he's got a stronghold in you and you need to escape from that, if you need to clear your heart and clear your mind spiritually and rejuvenate and rededicate that your purpose to God's purpose and to follow the Lord Jesus, if you know somebody that needs that, I'd ask that if you would, if we could, let's do an old-fashioned where we come down, those of you that can, if we can just come down here and pray together. And I would like to, at least when we come down, just start praising the Lord where we are. And then if somebody needs special prayer or somebody wants special prayer or to stand in for somebody, we can do that as well. Would that be good? That's the way we start a revival. We got to do it. We just got to get the ball rolling. We want revival. Let's do revival. So if you would, let's come down. And I'll go ahead and end the broadcast. I want to thank everyone here and everyone watching that joined us today at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande. And I pray that you have a blessed week. Thank you. Okay, that's over, but I really would like us all to come down and pray, those that can. And we can praise the Lord. Bob? Brother? My mouth's a little dry, but I'm going to try to do it. Yeah, okay. But okay, let's do that. Let's claim revival now. Revival can look a lot of different ways. Thank you, Bob. Revival can look a lot of different ways. In Asbury, they're having that revival. And I watched it. You could watch it online. And sometimes they're up very boisterous. Other times they're just prayerful. Other times they're singing. Revival takes many different ways, but we want revival. So let's do that. If we can all just pray together, let's pray for revival and just praise the Lord. Lord, thank you for your mercies and thank you for being here with us today. Thank you for permission to get together and to worship you. You know, we know it is only by your mercy and your grace that we are even here, Lord. And we love you and we praise you and we invite you into our lives and into this church and into this church body. And we are going to be revived. We want revival. We ask for revival. And whatever that may look like, Lord, send the power of the Holy Spirit to fall upon every one of us here. If there's someone that has turmoil, Lord, we pray for peace. If someone has sickness, we pray for healing. If someone is being challenged and dragged into the world, we pray for release and freedom. Bring them back into the fold, Lord, and let them experience the fullness of your love and your power. And I just ask that you be with us here today. Just be with us and see that we're reaching out and we're crying and we want, Lord, we want so much the revival that you will give us. We want to be a powerful church. We want to stand victorious in the name of the Lord Jesus. We know that you are the Lord, the supreme creator of all that is. And we worship you and put you first. Lord, please touch each and every individual life when they go home throughout the week. Flood them with your Holy Spirit so that their waking moments just revert back to you. And they find themselves singing your praises. And we find ourselves just praising the Lord. And we find ourselves, when we go through a challenge, the first thing that we do is look to our Lord. Look to our Lord Jesus, who's with us. He's closer than a brother, right? A friend that is closer than a brother. And we know you're right there with us. And not only that, you're in our hearts, Lord. And let us learn to turn to you and have faith in you and confidence in you, Lord. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you. If somebody else would like to pray.
Thank you,
Jesus. Jesus. Precious Jesus. Precious Jesus. Precious Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
From what's going on, Lord God, within the church and outside
Jesus,
the church around
Jesus.
We thank you, Lord God, that you are all powerful.
Yes, Jesus, Jesus, your name above all names.
And you've given us the authority.
Yes, Lord.
Of you, Lord,
we stand in your authority.
By those
Lord, Jesus.
That are believers in you, saved by your blood. And cleansed
praise.
By your blood.
Praise.
And drenched in your
Jesus.
Blood. That
thank
the enemy
you.
Has no
thank
right
you for your spirit falling
us.
Down and renewing
that
us, Lord.
That you have poured yourself
rejuvenated
into
us.
Through your spirit, Lord God.
Redeemed
your
us.
Of promise.
Reviving
and we thank
us.
You, Lord, that we can speak
thank
to these
Jesus.
Spirits
thank
in
you,
the
Jesus.
Name of Jesus. That they are commanded in your name, Lord Jesus, to take their
Jesus.
Hands off this body and its family, its children and its children's children.
We are
no
yours, Lord.
Because we stand in the gap.
Yours only.
Ahead of them. That you have given us over our
Jesus,
families,
Jesus.
Lord God, to stand in the gap.
Precious Jesus, all
Lord,
I could say.
Jesus, we thank you for that.
Jesus.
We thank you that you are all powerful.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Ministry spirits, guiding angels, and warring angels to surround and protect, Lord God. And that you would drive back the principalities and powers that come against us, Lord God.
Jesus,
that they have no
Jesus.
Right nor hold over us. You are our
Jesus,
Savior, Lord
Jesus,
God. There is
Jesus.
None greater than you. The enemy
take
has
us by
no
the
right
hand, Lord.
Nor hold to enter this,
don't let
this
us
go. Domain. He has no
let
right over the hearts
you.
And people, the minds of, this,
the
of
hand,
these
Lord.
People here, my
you
brothers and my sisters.
Hand.
the threshold that he's tried to invade and bring upon the people, and the veil he's tried to inflict upon the people to blind them has no right nor hold over these children of yours, Lord God. And we thank you for your blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and that we are marked with your name, Lord God, and the enemy has no right nor hold over us. I thank you, O Lord God, that you would reveal yourself to each and every person right here, Lord God, with an assurance and confidence in their hearts, that their minds, Lord God, would be freed from the enemy, Lord God, and what he chooses to bring as the fiery wicked darts would be repulsed and go back upon their own heads, that it has no right or hold over us, Lord God, because you've given us that hedge of protection. You've surrounded us.
Shield over everyone here.
Your righteousness is extended over us. Your wings, according to your word, are extended over us. We take your word and we stand on it right now, for you said that we should take your word and stand on it and trust you, not wavering, not being steadfast, persevering, not doubting, not wavering, Lord God, but looking unto you, the author and finisher of our faith. So, Lord God, we look to you right now, not individually, but as a corporate body here today, Lord, thanking you for what you have done for us individually and corporately to make a way where there was no way. As my sister said this morning, you are the way maker. And we look to you, for you are able to make a way where there seems to be no way. And I ask, Lord God, that those right now that are being swallowed up, those, Lord God, that are being oppressed, those where the spirit of heaviness has come upon them, Lord God, that they would be set free, Father, in the name of Jesus right now. And you said that when we stand together here, Lord God, and lift up the name of Jesus and come to you, O Father, that you would grant those prayers. And these prayers are according to your word, O God. So we're standing on these in the name of Jesus.
Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sister Richie?
I'd like to say something. When you talk about revival, one person cannot pray and bring revival. And you show what I'm saying here. It's a corporate body.
That's right.
On one spot, when we're at home, whether we're in church, wherever we are, in our car, that we pray for revival, that God will move upon each and every one of us. What we don't understand is we are one in the Spirit. One Spirit. The Spirit united brings revival.
Amen.
And we are united in one mind. And the Spirit dwells in every one of us that receives Jesus Christ as our Savior.
That's right.
The Spirit of God dwells there. Jesus dwells in our lives.
In our lives.
And revival comes. I want to say that if we all will take time out of our day, make a sacrifice, sometimes we don't want to sacrifice for revival, but we need to make sacrifice, and that sacrifice is prayer. We need to take time in our home to pray, not just say, well, when I go to church.
That's right.
We, and husbands and wives, we can bind together and pray for revival.
Amen.
We need to pray for the presence of God. But we're living in a time that we need the Holy Spirit, and we need that revival.
We must have.
The Bible is popping up all over the place, especially in colleges among young people.
That's right.
I'm telling you, the same as old people.
That's right.
Old people come to understand where we come from. But God brought us for you.
That's right.
God, we want your presence in our lives again. And we want to see. We want to see the miracles and
Amen.
The healing.
Amen.
Revival brings that.
That's right.
Revival will bring that.
Oh, we want revival. That's what we want. That's what we're asking for. We want. We've repented, right? And we belong to the King. Amen. Yes. Yes. And we can do that. But we can't do it. God can do that. We can receive it. We can receive it. We can ask for it. We can receive it. Yeah. That's right. Let's do that. Let's pray for Sister Richie, if you would. There's some oil in my hand. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity once again to come to you and just to commune with you, Lord, and be in your presence. And I ask, Lord, that you heal this sister, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, in Jesus' name. She has the faith to come up here and stand here and expect healing, Lord. And I just, in Jesus' name, I ask that you heal this sister and take this pain in her back. We don't know what it is, where it comes from. We don't have to know. We just know that in your name, Lord Jesus, she is healed. She is healed, starting from the very beginning of the base of this pain, all the way to wherever it goes, Lord. It's going to be coming healed. It can't stand. It cannot remain in the face of the Lord. In face of your power, Lord Jesus, and our request unto you, just to heal her and rejuvenate her and touch her life and her spirit, Lord, and give her that joy and release her from that pain that she has. Lord Jesus, Jesus, Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus, Jesus. And if I could, brother, I want to pray with you, if you'll let me. Lord Jesus, give my brother peace. Just whatever he's going through, Lord, just let him know he's not alone. That you are there with him and that you will take the heavy burden, Lord. You will take that yoke upon yourself, Lord. I just ask that you be there with him, his life. Let him not forget. Let him stand strong, Lord. Just to heal his heart, heal his soul. Give him peace, Lord Jesus. Give him peace. Peace, Lord Jesus. Jerry? You know, we both had our cousins are going through something now. And it's just a weird thing. Think of somebody you grew up with and they're having this challenge and maybe there's guilt. For me anyway. Why my cousin? Why not me? But you know what? Through the grace of God, we can pray for healing for them. And they will be healed. And they will be comforted. And God's will be done. So if you all will help me pray, I want to pray for Jerry's cousin. And mine as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're coming together, Lord, in obedience to you. In obedience to you, Lord Jesus. And we just come before you and we stand in confidence in the name of our Lord Jesus. And we ask that you intervene in these lives, Lord. Intervene with Bryce. Intervene with Jerry's cousin. And heal them. The doctors may come and say, you're stage four. There's nothing we can do. But you know what? I would rather take what you have for me, Lord, any day than what they're going to say and what they're going to do. And I know we want your will to be done. We praise you, Lord, for the healing and for the comfort and for the peace and just for the confidence that you're going to give them, Lord, as they fight this battle. And not they're no longer fighting it alone. They're giving it to you. To you entirely. We all give it to you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you and praise you. And thank you for this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. But does anybody else need prayer for anything? This is the time to do it. Stand together. If you will, pray with me. We're going to believe that Bob is standing in. He's standing in, an intercessor. He's standing in for his family, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you bring his family together and you bring them peace and you bring them faith. You bring them togetherness, Lord Jesus. He's been seeking this unity, Lord, and this calmness and this peace that only You can give. He's been seeking it, Lord, and he's believing in it. And now we're all believing in it together. We're asking this of you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that You come down and You meet each one of them in the family, individually, and bless them and wash over them with your Holy Spirit and Your love. Repair the breaches that they have in their relationships and pull them together so they know there's nothing more important than You, Lord. And that You've given us a gift of family and we should all pull together. We don't have to go through this alone. We go through this life through the power of our Lord Jesus, and we surround ourselves with like-minded individuals, and we have our families, Lord. And we just pray that we all get on the like mind, Lord. We all follow You. We're tearing down any barriers that are going to prevent us from making our way to You, Lord, and for that family unity to get together so there'll be a powerful family and only good things will happen. And they will praise the Lord and they will be an example to others of praising the Lord and believing and walking in the steps of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, in Jesus' name. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else would like to join with the body of the church for prayer? I'm going to thank the Lord for intervening on Michelle's behalf. I know she's going through a lot. But you know what? There's nothing to God. It's just, He'll take care of it. He'll work it out. I believe that.